unemployment has increased, so there's more people on unemployment benefits because unemployment's gone up by 2% since March. 650,000 Australians would go back into poverty. But most concerning is that 120,000 of those would be children.
And one for mum, one for dad, and one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian.
Budgets are about choices, Fran, and you show what you value through the choices you make.
Dead, buried, cremated.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
How good is Australia?
Just follow the money.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Institute, and we're recording this on Tuesday, the 21st of July, 2020. The JobSeeker payment is Australia's unemployment payment, previously known as a New Start. When the pandemic hit and parts of the economy shut down, on Sunday, the 22nd of March, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced a new coronavirus supplement of $550 per fortnight, paid to both existing and new recipients of multiple payments, including the unemployment payment.
Today I announce that we are committing $130 billion over the next 6 months to support the jobs and livelihoods of what we anticipate of being almost 6 million Australians who will need that lifeline in the months ahead.
It was the first time in 25 years, that's right, 25 years, that there had been a real increase in the level of the unemployment payment, which for years had seen far too many Australians living well below the poverty line. And this week, the Australia Institute released economic modelling showing exactly how many people the coronavirus supplement had helped lift out of poverty. And it was a lot. This week, the Prime Minister has announced changes to the supplement, effectively cuts to the supplement. And we want to know what it will mean for the many people who have lost their jobs through no fault of their own as a result of the coronavirus recession.
Yeah, let's talk about JobSeeker.
We have always said that the JobKeeper and the JobSeeker COVID supplement were temporary measures. And I think Australians understand that.
As the government prepares to reveal cuts to the JobKeeper and JobSeeker programs, concerns that some people who are out of work will be pushed below the poverty line.
If we choose to cut unemployment benefits, we are choosing as a society to push 600,000 people and 120,000 kids into poverty.
Yeah, look, I think something closer to the age pension looks, you know, to where it used to track. But clearly, we can't go back to the New Start allowance. We shouldn't go back to it permanently.
The government needs to understand that this lifeline payment of JobSeeker is the one that's going to get people through. Just keep people's head above water.
It's made the difference that I can now eat every day. I can pay my bills, I can pay my rent and buy all my medication.
See, I just don't want Australia to survive the COVID recession. I want us to emerge strongly from it.
So to unpack that question, this week I'm talking to Matt Grudnoff, Senior Economist at the Australia Institute and author of that report on the JobSeeker payment. G'day, Matt.
G'day, Ebony.
Matt, I wanted to start off with, what exactly is JobSeeker and why do we have it?
Well, JobSeeker is the renamed New Start allowance, the unemployment payments that you get when you're unemployed. And they renamed it and changed it right at the very beginning of the pandemic when they were just starting to close or shut down parts of the economy. And what they did effectively is they added what they called the coronavirus supplement. Basically, the government doubled the amount paid in unemployment benefits. It added $550 additional dollars a fortnight. And the effect that that had is it actually lifted 425,000 Australians out of poverty. It was probably the most Australians that have been lifted out of poverty in a single piece of legislation.
And why did it have such a dramatic impact? I guess the rate of unemployment must have been pretty low prior to that.
Yeah, look, I mean, basically, unemployment benefits were dropping further and further below the poverty line. They were below 20% below the poverty line, which is a long way down. And so this was quite a large increase. It effectively doubled unemployment benefits. And it was enough to actually push those families out of poverty and push them above the poverty line.
We tend to think about, you know, people doing it tough when they don't have work, but the unemployment payments were so low, like you said, they were so far below the poverty line that I think some surveys were showing that people were having to skip meals, they were unable to afford some medicines or medical treatment that they required. Like 20% below the poverty line is really not much income at all, is it?
No, it's virtually impossible to live on that kind of money. And, you know, I mean, it was having massive social and economic, it was causing massive social and economic damage to the people on it. In fact, it was so low that businesses were complaining to the government that they needed to increase it because, they were finding that unemployed people who were having to survive on this payment were not able to get themselves to job interviews and present themselves and effectively apply for jobs. It was actually stopping the unemployed from looking for work.
I mean, we tend to talk on this podcast about the impact on the economy, but lifting that number of people out of the economy, what is that going to mean for people's lives, lifting them out of poverty in this way?
Well, what it'll mean is that they will have enough money to survive on, that they won't have to be at risk, constant risk of homelessness. They won't have to be at constantly feeling hungry because they have to skip meals. And it also, it has a big effect because a lot of these people who are unemployed, these families effectively that are unemployed, have children as well. And so they worry about having to feed their kids. They worry about having to buy uniforms and get their kids to school. Basically, it allows these unemployed people to survive properly in society. But more importantly, from an economics point of view, and I'm an economist, so that's what I tend to focus on, but it'll allow the unemployed to organise themselves, to get to job interviews, to buy the appropriate clothing, a suit or an outfit to present well at interviews, which then allows them to get a job and get off these unemployment benefits.
And what impact does it have on the economy as a whole when all these people have extra money in their pockets?
Well, we know that stimulus, the best kind of stimulus, the most valuable kind of stimulus, is when it's fully spent. That is, for every extra dollar the government puts into the economy, it's then immediately spent. And that's exactly what unemployed and low-income people do. If you give the unemployed extra dollars, they're going to spend it all because they don't have much. They're going to spend it on the necessities of life. And so the extra money that the government was putting in by increasing unemployment benefits was a great form of stimulus. Basically, it meant that all of that stimulus was being spent, and it was usually almost always being spent in the local economy. So, you know, unemployed people don't go on overseas holidays. They don't buy expensive imported cars. What they do is they shop at their local shops, and almost all of that money would be spent locally, stimulating local businesses.
So compared to, for example, income tax cuts for wealthier Australians, like the coalition government has previously introduced, in terms of economic bang for your buck, boosting the unemployment benefit is much better in terms of fiscal stimulus.
Absolutely. You're going to get far more bang for your buck giving money to low-income people, unemployed people, than you are giving to high-income people. High-income people save a lot of their income. They use it to pay off debt. They use it to buy imports. They're more likely to import. And so a lot of that is, as economists put it, are leakages from that stimulus. They're basically stuff that's not going to stimulate the Australian economy. So it's far less effective. You're better off giving it to low-income earners.
Now, this coronavirus supplement is only temporary. And until today's announcement, really the government had been flagging that it was going to cease this supplement come September. And so the Australia Institute undertook some economic modelling to see what would happen if this coronavirus supplement of $550 a fortnight was removed. What did that show?
Well, what it showed is if the government got rid of the supplement in September as it's currently legislated to happen, if that was completely removed, then an additional 650,000 Australians would be pushed into poverty.
650,000.
650,000 Australians. So all those unemployed people who've been lifted out of poverty, plus some extra ones because unemployment has increased, so there's more people on unemployment benefits because unemployment's gone up by 2% since March. 650,000 Australians would go back into poverty. But most concerning is that 120,000 of those would be children. And we know that poverty in particular has a big impact on children. It can hurt their cognitive development. It means they fall behind in school and they'll then struggle to catch up and they'll struggle to get a job when they become an adult. It affects their emotional development. And in a lot of cases, it affects their health. And these impacts go on all the way through their lives. So if they're in poverty in childhood, but they later get out of poverty, the negative impacts of being in poverty as a child are going to stay with them for the rest of their lives.
For JobSeeker, we are increasing the income-free area to $300. That means you can earn $300 without it affecting any of your JobSeeker payments. We are adjusting the COVID supplement down to $250. So that means you can earn $300 where you may have been getting $550 before. You can earn $300 and then there's the $250 supplement that will come through the COVID supplement and that will run out till the end of this year.
So today the Prime Minister made some announcements about both JobKeeper and JobSeeker. I know it's only just happened, but specifically relating to JobSeeker, what announcements were made today?
Well, what they've decided to do is reduce JobSeeker so that they've cut the rate. So it was due to end in September, and instead of ending in September, they've extended it until the end of December, but they're cutting the supplement. The coronavirus supplement was $550, and they're cutting it back by $300 to $250. So that basically means that people on the unemployment benefits will see a cut of about $300 a fortnight.
Matt, I know we don't have, you know, updated modelling on this, but what kind of impact will this have in terms of putting people below the poverty line?
Well, when we did our modelling exercise earlier, we modelled how many people would be pushed into poverty if they completely got rid of the supplement, as they were originally planning to do at the end of September, and that was 650,000 people. But we also modelled if they cut the supplement back to $75 a week. And that showed that there were less people pushed into poverty, but not a huge amount. So it was still 500,000, half a million people would be pushed into poverty if the supplement, rather than be completely removed, was reduced to just $75. What the government done today is reduce the supplement to $125 a week or $250 a fortnight. So while it will reduce poverty further, it's still likely that hundreds of thousands of Australians will be pushed into poverty by this.
And while we've said that the supplement is only temporary, the rise in unemployment isn't going to be temporary. So realistically, all the people who are relying on this JobSeeker payment at the moment, what chance do they have of finding a new job in the short to medium term?
Well, at the moment, with unemployment going up, it's really, really difficult to find a job. At the moment, we have 13 unemployed people for every job vacancy. So it's quite literally impossible for everybody to find a job. And by a long way, it's impossible for everyone to find a job.
We will be reintroducing mutual obligation in two phases. From the 4th of August, we will be requiring people to connect again to employment services and to undertake 4 job searches a month. And the penalties regime will kick in if people refuse a job that has been provided and offered through that process.
There's 13 unemployed people in Australia for every job vacancy at the moment. 13 unemployed people for every vacancy. The idea that mass unemployment is caused by an outbreak of laziness is it's politically convenient, but it's not economically true.
And we also know that the unemployment, when it rises, tends to hang around for a long time. So while the unemployment when the recession first occurs rises quickly, it then takes a long time to decrease. And so people who are unemployed at the moment, unfortunately, unless the government really gets in and starts to manage the economy and stimulate the economy, then this unemployed people could hang around, or unemployment could hang around for a long period of time.
If you lose your job in a recession and you don't get it back in the following 2 years, you basically never work again.
Do we know anything about how long it's lasted in previous economic downturns?
Well, if we go back to the last recession that Australia had in 1991, if we look at what the unemployment rate was before the recession began, and then we look at how long it took for the unemployment rate after the recession to get back to that pre-recession unemployment rate, it took 12 years for the unemployment rate. So it wasn't until 2003, 12 years after the 1991 recession. More than a decade before the unemployment rate got back to pre-recession levels. And really, that's devastating for some people. I mean, there are a whole groups of people who became unemployed in the 1991 recession who never worked again. Effectively, they stayed unemployed until they reached retirement age and they retired. It can have lasting, recessions have lasting damages. They're very scarring, not only on the economy as a whole, but also on individuals. And that's why it's so important that the government gets its economic stimulus and gets its support packages right. If it worries a bit too much about things that are not important, like, you know, the level of debt or something like that, and it withdraws that stimulus too quickly, it can have a devastating effect for a very long period of time.
I'll come to the debt in a minute, but are there other impacts on the economy? I guess I was thinking, you know, all these newly unemployed people who've lost their jobs through no fault of their own, presumably some of them have mortgages, presumably some of them are renting properties that, you know, might be quite expensive because they formerly had a well-paying job. Is that going to be a concern?
Well, yeah, it's going to have a big impact. So as part of the modelling that we did, we had a look at people that had become newly unemployed. So that is, had newly fallen into poverty. So we basically took the current people who are in poverty, if the coronavirus supplement was removed, and we took away people that were in poverty before the recession. And what we found is that about 250,000 of those people had a mortgage. They were buying their house. Now, if you go from having a job to unemployment benefits, and then having those unemployment benefits cut, then you're really going to struggle to pay your mortgage, all right? And so that's obviously going to have an impact on the housing market. We also found that about 250,000 people rented. So these are people who would have decided about a rental property when they had a job before and now suddenly find themselves unemployed and those unemployment benefits being cut. And so obviously they're going to struggle to pay the rent. And this is important because if, for example, you own an investment property, then it's entirely possible that you should take a big interest in how much these unemployment benefits are. Because if they're cut by the government, then you might find that the person who's paying the rent in your investment property can't pay it anymore. And at the very least, even if they can, if 250,000 people suddenly are struggling to pay rent, what that means is that rents in total are going to go down. And we've actually already started to see that. We've seen rents fall in all of the capital cities around the country.
So coming now back to that question of debt, it was only a few weeks ago that the Prime Minister was announcing, I think, $270 billion in defence spending. And I do not recall hearing a single word about debt or deficit from really any minister or any journalist.
Or how we were going to pay for it.
Is debt for defence spending any different to debt used to keep people out of poverty?
No, look, I mean, the dollars are the same. You know, the government's choosing to issue bonds in order to pay for its deficits, and that's going to increase the debt. But look, this government in particular has worries far too much about things that don't matter, and one of those things is the debt. The price of keeping us out of recession or limiting the damage of the recession will always be smaller than the recession itself. That is, even if the government chose to borrow a whole lot more in order to prevent this recession from getting worse, in order to stop the unemployment rate from rapidly rising, that is a better deal than deciding that debt, we don't want to go into debt and just allowing the economy to collapse. And even people like, you know, very conservative commentators like the governor of the Reserve Bank, who, let's face it, is the one that manages the government's debt and should know about this. Even the governor of the Reserve Bank is telling the government, don't worry about the debt right now. This is not the time to be concerned about debt. What should be front and centre of the government's mind is how can we keep the Australian economy ticking over? How can we create jobs? How can we reduce the unemployment rate?
And is debt very expensive right now?
Not at all. In fact, right now, debt is as cheap as it's ever been. When the government issues bonds, it's effectively the way that the government borrows money. And it can, at the moment, if it wanted to, issue a 30-year bond, which means basically it gets a fixed interest rate for 30 years and it doesn't have to pay any of it back, except for the interest, until the 30th year. And it can get that at an interest rate of just over 1%. Now, if you think about that, they can borrow for 30 years at a fixed interest rate of 1%. Inflation in Australia averages about 2.5%. So effectively what's happening is the person, people are actually paying the government to borrow money. The real interest rate is actually negative. So it's never been cheaper for the government to borrow money, and debt is something that should be the least of the government's worries. What they should be focusing on is the damage caused by high and rising unemployment.
And Matt, in an ideal world, if the government took the Australia Institute's advice and permanently increased the JobSeeker payment, who would lose?
Well, who would lose if we increased? Well, probably nobody. Certainly there'd be a huge winners as far as the unemployed were concerned. The government has unfortunately slipped back into its job snob sort of discussion. I mean, you know, if it wasn't so horrible, it would be laughable. Right now, as I said earlier, we have 13 unemployed people for every job vacancy. There are hundreds of people applying. Businesses have reported getting, hundreds of applications for every job. There is no shortage of people looking for work who want work right now. The idea that, you know, the government should be concerned that some people might turn their nose up at a job is pretty silly at this point. We have an unemployment rate that, you know, is heading towards 10%. We're told that the real unemployment rate is well north of 10%. This is not a time where the government should be concerned at all about, you know, job snobs, if at all. Most people want to contribute to society. I mean, it's a pretty dim view of humanity to think that we don't actually want to contribute. And right now, people can't contribute because the economy is contracting, the economy is shrinking, and there just aren't enough jobs around.
So essentially, Matt, you're saying all that would happen if the government permanently increased JobSeeker is that we'd keep a bunch of people, including children, out of poverty and boost the economy.
Well, that's exactly right. As you said earlier, there's never any discussion about how much or where the money is going to come from in order to increase defence spending. Well, we're planning to increase defence spending a lot more than the cost of this coronavirus supplement. We are a rich society, and we can choose to do what we like. Maybe we should choose to try and keep children out of poverty. Maybe we should choose people's dignity and ability to survive over other things.
I think that's as good a place as any to leave it, Matt. Let's leave on the value of human dignity. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
This has been a special episode of Follow the Money, and we're aiming to bring you shorter but more frequent episodes during the pandemic, so please stay tuned. You can check out the Australia Institute's Economics of a Pandemic webinar series at our website, tai.org.au/webinars. And our next event is on Friday, the 24th of July at noon, that's this Friday, with Matt and Richard Dennis, our chief economist, unpacking the mini budget. It's free, but registration is essential. For the latest health information, you can check health.gov.au or listen to the ABC's excellent CoronaCast podcast, which comes out daily. You can visit tai.org.au for all our latest research and content, including Matt's research report detailing that economic modelling on the cost of removing the coronavirus job seeker supplement. We're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. My Twitter handle is Ebony_Bennett with a double N double T, and Matt Grudnoff is at Matt Grudnoff. That's GRUDNOFF. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy with help from Grace Crivellero and Lucy Law. Our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum. And please keep washing those hands, stay safe, stay away from me, and thanks for listening.